Look at them. They just keep piling up here. Dang. Where are you headed for, man? The coffee cup. It's a secret cup. You got to leave that thing alone. You want to get you your own cup. You want... Oh, well, get a styrofoam one. Oh, you can have coffee? Listen, I'm not trying to get in the way of your parents, but it's okay by me. Miles, where are you going for? All right, cool enough. So works out. Well, church, we have all of these children up here because we got a space for them to go to, be a part of, take a hold of Jesus in a way that they'll grasp. So if you will, pray with me, pray with us as we ask God to touch, bless, change, guard, protect the classrooms, these children, and those teachers. So all of us cowboys, let's all pull our hats off. Let's all close our eyes and focus on Jesus for just a second while we pray. Lord Jesus, thank you again because you are very God, and that we might come to understand the reality of how great is our God. So take this time with these children, those teachers, and those classrooms to do what only you can do. We leave this in your hands. We leave this to you, my King. It's in your Son's precious name that we pray, and all God's people say, Amen. All right, now get you a cup of coffee on the way. You want coffee? Get you some. I mean, if it's okay. If it's okay. It's okay, ain't it? Well, me neither. So for everybody who thinks it ain't cold outside, get over it. It's windy and cold. I thought spring had sprung. Apparently I was mistaken. But let's continue to pray for spring. And for everybody who says, I just love it when it's cold outside, we'll spend all day out there. See what you think then. Anyway, February is the Mexican word for still winter, so we got to put up with it. We've been talking about prayer. Last week I began to talk about prayer and how important it is, and how it is an expectation of us, the saved. And one of the things that I think maybe doesn't really come to mind with everybody is that everybody prays. Doesn't matter who you are. Atheists pray. Everybody prays. And when you're in the foxhole and there's bullets and you're low on ammunition, you don't know what it looks like out there, everybody prays. Because nobody wants to take that. If there's a God out there and you are real, everybody prays sometime. And can I just tell you, that's evidence of the Creator God. Inside of every one of us, I don't care what you profess that you believe, inside of every one of us is this thing, like if you're real, God, every one of us wants to somehow check that box just in case. That's the reality of life. Well, prayer is the way that you and I, the redeemed, the called, the elect, the saved, that prayer is the way that you and I come to know and understand and grasp and take a hold of God. I hesitate to bend this thing, but it gets caught in my whiskers. And I ain't shaving. But anyway, I just want to get to this place where we recognize that everybody prays. Not everybody prays all the time, but everybody prays. Because we can't deny the reality that they're really is a God. And people have always prayed. Even back in the Old Testament time, there was a place where people made up their own gods. They said, hey, man, you know, here's the God of the water and of the corn and of the sun. And people would make up their own. And they would pray to that. But Israel always had Yahweh. And so there was what we know of as the Levites who would pray for
all the regular Israelite. And they would pray to God. They would intercede for God. They always would. That was how that system worked. And today, you and I get to pray directly to God. So what I want us to grasp is that it used to be we went to a priest, a Levite, and we said, hey, here's a hole in my program. And then that person would intercede. God had set up the system so that that person would intercede for me. And then for my part, I would bring a sheep. Because I don't want to be brutal, but if I was going to pay something, I'd pay with a sheep. Who needs them? But that's how that system worked. Today, you and I don't need that. We don't need that priest. We don't need the sacrifice. What we do is we just pray directly to the same God that they were talking to. We get to do that because we've been adopted as children. We're entitled to do that because we are children of our Father, God. We're children of our Father, God, because of what Jesus, His one and only Son, did on that cross. What He did was pay a sin debt when He says in 3:16, for all who would believe, He paid a sin debt for us. He paid the debt. I can't pay that with my... I could never settle it. I could pay it. I could go to eternity and spend all that time in hell, but I would never satisfy the debt. Jesus satisfied the debt. The sinless Lamb of God went to the cross and gave His life, not because of anything He had done, but He did it so that you and I would believe, who would believe in Him would not perish. We've been adopted. Just as much as Jesus is the Son of God, you and I, born-again believers, are sons and daughters. So we can speak directly to God. That's a new thing. So, and a product of that is, get over the idea, hey, I want that preacher to pray for me. I ain't got no more Jesus than you got. Would you come and bless our house? No. If you ain't got Jesus there, I can't bring Jesus there. I can pray in agreement with you. I can stand with you. But me and you got the same Jesus. If you're not willing to do the work, I ain't. I'm not going to work harder than you to not get there. So, but all this means is that we're children. We're adopted. And now we have the special privilege of the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of us. We have the special privilege of that Holy Spirit praying for us. I want you to see this in Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, about two-thirds of the way through your New Testament, Old Testament Bible. Anyway, somewhere in there. Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. And in Acts chapter 8, I want you to read this with me. Yeah. Way to stay on top of stuff. Romans chapter 8. If you're confused, don't raise your hand. Thank you for that. Read this with me. Romans chapter 8. The Apostle Paul brilliantly says this. In Romans chapter 8, I'll be in the 26th verse. Here's what he said. And the Holy Spirit that's living inside of me and you, in this age, the Holy Spirit lives inside of born-again believers. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. I want to remind us of something, that our prayers only are of value if we pray in accordance to God's will. I have prayed many times for stuff outside of God's will. And I have never received any of that. And neither will you. I didn't think it was really outside of God's will. When in the sixth grade, I asked God to give me that woman for my wife. But thank God it never happened, right? So the idea is that we want to pray in God's will. And Paul tells us that this Holy Spirit in us is going to help us do that. Actually, that's what he is doing. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and he, the Spirit, is helping us. And if we can grasp that, then we can recognize another truth, that Jesus is literally at the right hand of the Father right now interceding and praying for us. If you want to trot a little further to the 34th verse, read this with me. Paul said, "Who will then condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us and is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading, interceding, praying for us." Oh, listen, I need that. I need the Holy Spirit to help me. Boy, my brain goes way too fast. I need that. And I also need that Jesus is sitting there at the right hand of God, interceding for me right now too. It's a necessary part of my walk of faith, of your walk of faith. And that is what's happening outside of me. We got to start talking about what's going on. See, Jesus spent 3 years, he was interceding. He was walking on this earth and he was teaching and he was modeling and he was helping and guiding and giving. So for those 3 years that he started his ministry and then he went to the cross, for all that time, he was in person sharing, teaching, guiding everybody. And that is a great thing. We so wish we could have been there for that. But today, we don't have Jesus because he has ascended to the Father. He sits at God's right hand. But we do have the Spirit that he sent. When he left at Pentecost, the Spirit came. So now we have Jesus in us. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, the Trinity, they're one. We speak of them as distinct persons, but they're the same. Jesus is in me. He's pleading for me. The Holy Spirit is recognizing my old messy brain and saying stuff clearly. And I also need to do something on my own. I've got to take steps on my own because no longer do I have Jesus walking around talking about, hey, 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 hey. I have the Spirit in me talking about, hey, 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 hey. And I need to recognize that and then respond instead of just doing what I think I ought to do, which is my natural bent. Raise your hand if it's for you too. But I got to get over it. We're going to get to the reason why. The Holy Spirit's doing this. God created us for a relationship. That's why Adam and Eve were created. That's why the garden, that's why everything was created for this relationship. And a relationship involves knowing, not just like that's my pet gerbil, right? Nobody teaches a gerbil nothing. You just why I don't even know why I said gerbil because it's a funny word, but we're not pets. We're not a relationship. Is that there is two sides of that thing. God created humanity for a relationship. And we were created for that very same purpose, to seek him, to find him, and for to have conversation is how we would know. We would not know or be known if not for words. We would watch, just like you watch that gerbil, but you don't know what's going on in his brain. You think he has anxiety. But if that gerbil could talk, maybe you'd find out he's super intelligent. I'm just making that up because they're not. But it takes words. It takes language. It takes us speaking. And we have this gift. We've been given something that the animal kingdom has not been given. And it's for us to use. We should use it. This is what a relationship is about. So the prayer that we might use, and this book right here, which we call Scripture, is the very word of God. So it takes prayer and this word and the Spirit living in me to accomplish this relationship. We all on the same page? So I can't just have a relationship if I got the book. I can't just have a relationship if every once in a while I get in a tight spot and I say, "Lord, pull me out of this mud hole." I can't just have a relationship if God is over there, and I'm over here, and I'm fine with that. There's this communication that draws us together. And being together is what God's intention for us is. This is a lot of words to say the same thing. This is how we are supposed to come to know our Father. Just like your earthly father. Just like your earthly friends. Just like your earthly people. We've come to know them because of language, because of conversation, because of words. God's given us His Word. And now we have words that we can share with God. And we're going to call that prayer. It looks like a lot of different things. But it's physical words. It's not just a thought in your brain. Can I say that? It can't just be a thought. Well, I was thinking about you today, Lord. It's important that we say stuff. That we say it out loud, that we say it with, that we say it in community, that we use our words. It's super important. It's necessary. It's really the only way that this works. And to that end, most of us pray. And being a Christian doesn't mean that we have to pray. Like, oh, it's time to pray. And I want to say something because it's time or because I need to. Or, which is common, we all pray when we're in a mud hole. Can I tell you that praise is prayer? In all of Scripture, there's so much recorded prayers. Old Testament and New. Tons of them. Some are one-line prayers. Oh, Lord. Pray. And then some are big, long prayers. Jesus prayed in John 17, and it's much. Old Testament people prayed. New Testament people prayed. Jesus prayed all the time. It's not just like, hey, save me, Lord. It's a lifestyle. It's not an obligation to pray, to be in communication, to use your words, to find a relationship. It's not just a thing we've got to do. Because if your marriage or if your friendships or if your relationships have any kind of obligation in them, you're going to come in conflict. If you're doing or saying or staying because of an obligation, you're going to come into conflict. But if you don't want conflict, then you want to be able to speak. You want to use your words. You want to say. And then you want to also hear. And God's the very same way. God has spoke. That's all of this. And so God wants to hear. That comes from me. I don't want to sound too simple. But we can shoot right over that. And think, yeah, I'm cool. Me and God, we're just like that. And not do our part. Not pursue our part. We're the seekers, right? And we don't want to just pray when we're in a foxhole. What about all that time when life is great? When literally we say, then sings my soul. That means that I'm so happy I recognize the Creator God of the universe. Then sings my soul is more powerful than you. It's not just words in a song. Praise. And just a little side note to that. What do you listen to? Because if you're listening to the immorality, and that's just a blanket statement, right? If you're listening to the immorality that is generally music, I don't care what it is, what genre it comes from. Are you praising? And if you're not, you're doing that by choice. You're saying to yourself, I would rather listen to this stuff that is all about me and how I feel than spending any time praising the Lord. Even if it's in the background, can I just tell you? There's so many songs that we'll hear and we already know all those words. I hate that about me. I hate that. I grew up putting that in me. And I'll just tell you today, you won't get in my truck and hear anything but that Christian radio station. You know why? Because even in my blank time when I ain't even thinking about nothing, I want praise to be happening to me. because I'm tired of the old me. So anyway, what you're listening to, figure that stuff out. I want you to understand, like I understand, like God wants us to understand how important this prayer is. It's not a language. It is a commitment. And in Romans, I want you to see this. In Romans 12, might be familiar to some of us. In Romans 12, recognize this. In 12:12, here's what Paul said. Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. He said, be devoted in prayer. Devoted, meaning that like, that's what I do. Not just when I'm in a mud hole, but that's what I do. When I wake up, my thoughts are about the Lord and about my calling, about what I'm doing. That's my devoted, that's what that means. And in Ephesians 6, trot to your right, to Ephesians, a bunch of little one-horse towns after the Corinthians, right after Galatians. And in Ephesians chapter 6, too many pages. In verse 18, here's what Paul said. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. He literally says pray all the time. So when do you not pray? According to the Bible, you pray all the time. When it's good, when it's bad, when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're up, when you're down. I wish I prayed so much that my dreams were prayer-like. Pray all the time is what the Bible said. I've just pulled a couple out so I could be specific. Test me on this. You look through the Bible. Find out about prayer. It's crazy to think. But in Philippians 4, you're right there. Go to Philippians 4 and verse 6. Here's what Paul said to the Philippians. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. So, when should we stop praying? Wait, He said pray all the time. What should we pray about? Well, no, He said everything. So, nothing is left out. So, if I ain't got any issue, should I spend some time praising God? Amen. If I'm not praising God, should I just be thinking about God? Amen. Listen, we ain't perfect, right? We ain't perfect. Raise your hand if you're perfect. I just want to see you. We're going to mess the deal up. We're going to struggle through it. We're going to fight through it. It's going to be a battle. And God doesn't say be perfect, but He says be holy. Make a choice. Do some choosing. And as soon as I recognize I'm choosing about me and not about God, it should affect my choosing. It should. It don't always. We get in our own heads sometimes. But we ain't even done yet. So 1 Thessalonians 5, here's what Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 5. I said 1 Thessalonians. 5 and 17. Well, I'm going to be in 16. First, Paul said, always be joyful. Never stop praying. So when should we not pray? I'm pretty sure that the Bible is perfectly clear about prayer. And I'm pretty sure that you and me are somehow have overthought, overthink, overdo. And so we make excuses and we get out of it. We made it into something for us. And it is really not. There are so many prayers in the Old Testament and the New Testament that are recorded for us. So sometimes they're recorded so we can see that God did exactly what He said He would do. Sometimes they're recorded so that we can see that people are suffering through the same junk I'm suffering through. Sometimes they're recorded so that if I'm just reading the Bible, which I try to do every day, sometimes I would just read that and I would think, yes, Lord. Those prayers are there. Sometimes I don't know what to say out loud. And I'm trusting that the Spirit's going to help me, but I don't have it. So I just read that prayer. And that's a beautiful thing. The Psalms are all about prayer. If you can't find you in the Psalms, you don't have the Bible in your hand. We're all in this thing, right? And so Jesus prayed all the time. Jesus, who modeled for you and I prayer, life, service, commitment, devotion. The one thing he did all the time besides live was pray. And the disciples noticed it. In fact, we're going to get to it next time we get together. They asked Jesus, show us what you're doing, because it's kind of foreign to us. They thought of prayer in a different way. Kind of like you and I think of prayer in a much different way than what Jesus intends for it. See, that Old Testament time at the end of the Old Testament until Jesus came, there's a long period in there where people got in their own head and had made everything into something that it was not intended to be. And so when the disciples said, Jesus, show us what you're doing there. They're not saying, hey, teach us the right words. They're saying, what do you do that's different than what we know? And they grasp it. Jesus teaches them stuff. So he prays all this time. And what I want us to recognize maybe this morning is that now maybe we've answered the reason why. Can you get there? See, most of us don't think too much about prayer unless we need a hand, unless we're in a tight spot, unless, like, Lord, I've just been diagnosed. Then we think about prayer. But the scripture literally teaches us that prayer should be about everything, all the time, without ceasing, and with words. It should be coming from us. And God, who hears everything, would receive our prayers. We've got to get out of our own head about prayers only when I need it, to recognize that that should be a lifestyle for the Christian, a lifestyle for the believer. It's just something that we do because how great is our God. And nothing could ever short-circuit that. And so one of the things that we struggle with is how big is your God? Do you have God in a little box that you only get him out when you need him? And everybody would think, not me. Oh, I mean, maybe a little bit. Because it's so easy for us to do that. And then we hear stories about people who God miraculously heals. Or a service where you can walk down the aisle and they'll just be healed and you're saved of everything. Don't fall for it. Prayer is personal with you. If God is going to do something, God's going to get the credit for it, not somebody. If God's going to heal you, he wants you to know that he did it. If God's going to change you, he wants you to know that he did it. And it's time for you and I to get out of our own heads and start to recognize this relational thing. And this relational thing with our Creator God, because he is that great, begins with prayer. And if we don't have that, we're not doing our part. When was the last time you spoke to your spouse or your friend or your girlfriend? You don't stay close unless you use your words. Sometimes I drive my bride away using my words. Say amen. No, she didn't mean that. Here's the thing. You and I are followers. We're not the boss of nothing. We're followers. We're disciples. We are children. And what that implies that we've gotten so far away from is that I can't do it on my own. I need to go where my daddy goes. I need to follow my daddy. When we were young and we were crossing the road or we were doing things, our daddy had his thumb on us. We were watching him. We were recognizing him. God's doing the very same thing with you and I. We are followers of Jesus. So we need to follow what Jesus did. We got to find the trail that Jesus was on. We got to do the things the way Jesus did them. We are followers of Jesus. Because of that, it's important for us to keep our head up. It's important for us to recognize. We got to be it in this book so we can see what he was talking about, see what he was doing, go where he went, do what he did. That's what a follower does. A follower doesn't say, I see what you did there, Lord. I'm going to tell you what I'll do. Let me tell you how to fix it. Let me solve this for you. Let me change something, because I don't think that was all that smart. We don't want to say that out loud, but if we don't do the way Jesus said, that's what I'm saying. Jesus literally used these words. If you love me, if you follow me, you will do what my Father says. That's in here. That's not what I say or your friend says. That's literally in here. And if you and I ain't in here, then we're just taking somebody else's word for something that may or may not be true. And if we're going to be followers, then we got to get busy about doing what he said, not what I want. So here's this thing. Matthew 7, you just got to see this before we move on. Matthew chapter 7. As soon as we get there, people will go, oh, yeah, that. I hate that. Freaks me out, too. Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to be in the 21st verse. Jesus said, not everybody who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody sitting here talking about, yay, Jesus, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know why? Because not everybody is saved. Not everybody is in a relationship with Jesus. Not everybody is. There's so many of us that are counting on, I show up at church every Sunday. I give my money. I give my time. I go out there and I'm that guy. You know what Jesus wants? A relationship. He doesn't want my work. In fact, once the relationship begins, I'm going to find out what he wants me to do, and that's what I'm going to do. He said, not everybody who calls me Lord, Lord is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven. Oh, now we've done it. I don't know what God's will is unless I'm in the book. Unless I'm in prayer, unless I'm in relationship, unless I spend that time trying to work through this stuff, right? And so most of us, well, in the King James, it's suck. Ugh. Most of us are terrible at taking direction. We've grown up in a culture where, Lord, you made me. I'm smart. You know. I know. I'm going to do it because that's how I do stuff. You gave me. You told me. You made me. I am. We're terrible at this taking direction thing because we've grown up with everybody asking us, what do I want? We even ask our own children, what do you want to eat? What do you want? What would you like? What would you? What would you? And that ain't what this is about. Lord, what would you have me? And am I willing to take that direction? I'm not always willing. I suspect you're a lot like me. We don't like advice from everybody, especially when it comes to the thing that I feel like is in my wheelhouse. Pretty much is everything. I'm wrong about that, but I struggle to face that reality. And you and I have got to figure this thing out. Knowing Jesus means that I have conversation, that I have invested in this relationship, that I have spent time in person with the God of creation in the person of Christ Jesus. In this book, in this word, in scripture, and in prayer, that I take time out, not just to say things, but I get committed to being with. That's a relationship. That's what God has called us to do. We only do that through prayer and this word. And if we're going to get involved in this thing, we've got to stop thinking about where I want to go and what I want to do and ask God, would you? Last thing in the world I want to do is go to Zimbabwe and be a midwife. But can I tell you that if that's where God said, which he'd have to be super serious about it in the clouds and stuff, but if that's where he said to go, Brett, that's where I'd be the happiest. I know that. I know that. That God's will for my life is the best place to be. Why do I keep on fighting for my way? Why do you keep fighting for your way? What God has given you and I, he's given us freely so that we could give freely. We should spend some time in prayer knowing life is this proving ground. And we get to choose what we're going to do every day. Will I follow? follow or will I take off on my own? And just because God doesn't strike me with a bolt of lightning and blow me up doesn't mean I'm doing it right. Just because it's easy doesn't mean you're doing it right. Can I tell you that when Jonah was on that ship asleep in the bottom and the sailors, the men who made a living on the sea, were freaked out, scared, he was sleeping in the boat, thinking he was doing the right thing. Can I tell you that nobody suffered, nobody worked harder, nobody tried, nobody went through more than Jesus did. Yet it was exactly God's will. The only way we know the truth is through prayer and the Word. And they match. And they come together. And then we follow. We take the next right step. We do the next right thing. And here's what I want to say is that all of a sudden, I pray that things are different for you and I. Next time we get together to talk about this, I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to walk through that thing kind of slow so we could kind of see what Jesus taught us. Not what we think, not what I think, not what some smart people think, but what Jesus said. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to pray. After we get done here, we always stand up here in the front because there's men and women up here who are willing to enter into prayer with you. And if you got something going on in your brain, you just want to walk up here and say, hey, whatever it is, you do. Move. Do what you've got to do. Do what God's leading you to do. Pray with me now. Lord, thank you again. Oh, I don't even know how to begin. It's such a big thing. It's such a... my lack of effort in my life to come closer to you is a burden that I have struggled with. Maybe it's something that we've all struggled with much. And so being able to come to you in prayer and words and to be silently in tune with you somehow, to be in your presence and know that you have a hold of me, that you hear me, comforts me beyond belief. Why I don't do it more, I could only guess that I'm just that dumb. But Lord, never let go. Never let off. I thank you that you are the God who reached down and took a hold of me. Lord, it is a privilege to come to you, to praise you, to ask of you, just to speak with you. So we just ask for your comfort to continue as we struggle, as we walk, as we spend this day and the next until we meet again. Lord, you be God. Teach us to pray. We ask this in the precious name, on the very authority of your Son, Jesus. And all people say, amen.
Some glad morning when this life is over. I'll fly away to a land on God's blessed shore. I'll fly away. Oh yeah, I'll fly away. Oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, bye bye, I'll fly away. Hey, Jerry. Hallelujah, bye-bye.